Hey, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yitzhai. We are in Chovetz HaLevavos, Shah HaBitachon, Perek Dalid, still. Okay, we're in the middle of this novel piece of the Chovetz HaLevavos, in the middle of his discussion of why does the Torah not describe the Sechar of Olam Haba? Why, when the Torah talks about reward, why does it talk in material terms? So the Chovetz HaLevavos began explaining a very important piece to understand, and that is that although Hashem promises reward for our mitzvahs, we should not take this to mean that when we do mitzvahs, we have truly earned our reward. We deserve the reward. He said it's not so. He said there are two things that merit reward. Meaning, after you do everything that Hashem says, there are another two things that are needed for you to have merited the reward. First, he said, is influencing others to do right. Again, as we discussed yesterday, this is a chiddush, a novel, a principle of the Chovetz HaLevavos. I don't understand it entirely. Meaning we certainly understand the great zchus of influencing others, getting others to do the right thing, instructing others. The Chovetz HaLevavos is putting it onto a whole new level by telling us that that is what makes the difference between a person who is not truly deserving of his own reward and a person who is. As we discussed, influencing does not have to mean formal teaching. It can be in the context of our personal relationships, of our homes, etc. Then he said, there is another aspect that makes us merit Olam Haba after we've done the mitzvahs, and that is Hashem's chesed. I'm sorry, just one moment. Hashem's chesed. Now, here's where we left off yesterday. We say that after you do yours, you still need to come on to Hashem's chesed in order to merit reward. Why is that so? Why don't we say, I did mine and therefore I deserve reward? And the answer is, as the Chovetz HaLevavos began telling us, that you have to understand that you're not starting at zero. If you were starting at zero, you would say, every good deed that I do earns me a return. But that's not how it is. You have to understand that we start in minus. All the good deeds that we do will not manage to keep us up with all the good that Hashem is showering on us. And one simple example of that, this is what we began saying yesterday. Chazal tell us, that I'll call Neshima Neshima, every breath that a person takes, he has to say Hallel. Meaning, we began elaborating on this yesterday. According to what I've read, when you take a breath in, when you inhale, the oxygen that has to be absorbed in the lungs and moved into the system, it has to be spread all around the body. So which part of the body absorbs it? It's the lungs. The lungs have a surface that's as big as a tennis court. Sounds strange. You don't see a tennis court in your chest. But the lungs have a surface that's as big as the tennis court. How is that? Inside the lungs, the surface area that absorbs the oxygen is what they call the bronchi and the bronchioli, etc., is tiny little branches, many, 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 many of them, that the intake of the oxygen gets absorbed there. And when you take it all, if you were to open it all up, you would have the surface area of a tennis court. I mean, you kind of think of it in these terms. If you take a package of paper, How big is it? Like this big, right? If you were to then spread it all out, you would probably have a surface area that's larger than your home. And this is how Hashem wraps up the bronchi and the bronchioli, et cetera, that's meant to absorb all that oxygen. It absorbs an immense amount of oxygen that it then sends out to your body. And your body depends on that constant influx of oxygen. So every breath is a complex business. That was in a very superficial way. I never really studied this properly. But that's in a very superficial way. So therefore, every breath really deserves an elaborate expression of thanks to Hashem. The way Chazal say it is Chayav Lomar Hallel. Now just use simple mathematics. If every breath requires recitation of Hallel, how many breaths does Hallel involve? Let's say you'll say Hallel in a very concise way. You'll boil it down to two paragraphs. Okay? But will that involve five breaths? For each breath, you have to say another Hallel. So when by the time you say Hallel, now you have to say another 25 Hallels. And if you say those 25 Hallels, by now you have to say 125 Hallels. And that's assuming that all it takes to say Hallel is five breaths. The point being that Hashem, if we were doing mitzvahs, if it was really a business issue, if it was an issue of tit for tat, then our mitzvahs, the way he says it, would not suffice for a fraction, to cover a fraction of the good that we're getting from Hashem. So we have to understand that if we're talking business with Hashem, we are in a significant minus. Just what? And here's the big point. It's not about business. That's exactly the point we have to understand. Olam Haba is not about business. It's about Hashem's love for us. He set up a system where he says, you do this for me, and I am going to give you immensely more than that should really earn you. It's like a person coming and saying, you know, you owe me $1 million. But you know what? I know that it's hard for you. I want to see you exerting effort. I want to see you exerting effort. You can come up with $1,000 to pay me. I'll appreciate that effort and I'll give you another million for free. I'll forgive the debt and I'll give you another million for free. This we understand. So the person will come and say afterwards, oh, that's business. I gave you $1,000 and therefore I deserve the million. We understand that, yes, it's a deal, but it's a deal of very, very great chesed. When Hashem comes and says, here, I'm going to give you life for 120 years and everything that entails, which includes a pleasant existence in a body which functions beautifully, and all kinds of other pleasures in life, I'm going to give you that life. Now, if you do mitzvahs, if you try to get close to me, then I will give you an olam haba that is simply unimaginable. So the life itself is already much more than our mitzvahs would earn us. If we're really weighing the value, the quality of what you're doing for Hashem versus what he's doing for you. But Hashem, in his great love for us, says, that's right, it isn't really business. This is really, it's kind of like a parent doing business with his child, right? I'm going to give, and I'll yet make a deal with you, right? Think of it like, you know, if you eat supper nicely, I'll give you a treat for dessert. But the kid is doing the parent a big favor by eating his supper nicely. I'm going to give you life in this world. You'll do some mitzvahs for me. Not only will I not consider you in debt to me for the life in this world, but I will yet add to you the bliss, the eternal bliss of Olam Haba. So he says, this is really all immense chesed. Mevidakte kaboyre, he says, sorry, so he says, Kim hayam masi adam kichol hayam b'mispar, if a person would do as many mitzvahs as the sand of the sea, he would have a hard time managing to pay for even one of Hashem's goodnesses. Hashem's goodnesses are so complex and so all-encompassing. And certainly, once a person has averus, so Hashem is just completely, the fact that he's continuing to sustain you is just immense chesed. The fact that he's keeping you alive is just immense chesed, the fact that he's willing to be forgiving, etc. So, if Hashem would decide, no, I actually want you to pay me. I want you to pay me. You know what? I'll let you have most of this for free. But I want you to pay me for a working heart, 20 years. You can live a lot longer than 20 years. But I want you to pay for the function of a working heart for 20 years. Says, you don't have a chance to possibly pay for that. All of your good deeds will simply be dwarfed in comparison to the tevis that Hashem is doing for you. So, if we just want to illustrate this in a very tangible way, think of the amounts of money that people would pay to save a limb, to save eyesight, to a person whose kidneys are not functioning properly. How much money do people spend in order to get properly functioning kidneys? And think of all the different, think of lungs, of a heart, all these different things. If you think in real terms, and these are things that can be quantified in money because they actually, people do spend money on this. And take something smaller. If a person has to pay money in order to save a finger that's in threat of being amputated, these are things that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they're going to add up quickly once you start putting it all together. It's going to be millions, right? You know that saving a limb could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. A kidney transplant, Khalilah. Other such things. Start thinking of all the different bodily functions and really add them up. And you will see astronomical sums. Now, do you appreciate the fact that you have all these things as gifts? Think of it in terms of those astronomical sums and think of the millions of dollars of value of goods that Hashem is providing you with. So, and therefore he says, don't make the mistake of thinking that the reward of Olam Haba is really rightfully earned. It's all part of Hashem's chesed. Hashem, it's not that, you know, Hashem requires our service. He needs us to work for him and he offers us a salary. The whole system is just chesed. Hashem created us because he wants to shower his chesed on us. And he made us the ultimate recipients of his chesed. The Jew is created with a neshama that has the capacity to enjoy kiviyachal the greatest rewards that Hashem has to offer. The whole thing is just chesed. So, I don't completely understand. The Chavis HaVavis is saying, therefore, the Torah did not describe the reward of Olam HaZeh in the Torah. I don't understand that. I mean, how does it answer the question? Meaning, the Chavis HaVavis made a very powerful point here. He made the point that you should understand you don't really deserve the chesed. Okay, but again, he is promising that reward. So why doesn't he spell it out in the Torah? I suppose that what the Chavis HaVavis is trying to say here is that Hashem is making a point by not spelling it out. What's the point that Hashem is making? Hashem is making the point that I don't need to spell it out because I don't really owe it to you. If there was really a business deal that needed to happen here, I'd have to spell out my side of the deal. But the truth is that when I ask you to keep my mitzvahs, I don't need to promise you further reward. The fact that you are living a comfortable life in this world is already enough of that. And that's the point that Hashem is getting across. By not spelling out this Chara V'Olam Haba, I shouldn't have, Kviyachal Hashem is telling us, it's true, I want to give that to you, but I shouldn't have to bring that in order for you to feel that you should be keeping my mitzvahs. I want to get that V'Olam Haba. There's plenty of reason, there's plenty of basis for me to expect loyal service of you, even without coming on to V'Olam Haba. And therefore, I'm laying down my mitzvahs as moral obligations that you should be doing for me. And it's true. In the background, there's that whole immense dimension of the reward that's going to Hashem's going to give us in Olam Haba. But Hashem is telling us, I want to see you serving me because you understand that you should be doing it even without the Olam Haba consideration. big concepts that the Chovas HaLevavos is laying on us here. Okay. Now he adds a point. He adds a sober point here. When it comes to punishment, it's not so. Any punishment that Chalila a person gets, he did earn justly. He did rightfully earn. Because if you did transgress the will of Hashem, the punishment is taka just. But at the end of the day, Hashem's chesed will overwhelm us. Both in this world and in the next. In this world, we're drowning in Hashem's chesed. In the next world also, both in terms of everything He wants to give us, everything He wants to bestow upon us, along with the fact that Hashem is so forgiving, meaning what we actually do rightfully deserve, which is punishment is rightfully earned, Hashem gives us the opportunity to avoid that. He's willing to, he'll be forgiving, and He wants to help us get out of that punishment and only get the reward, which actually we don't rightfully deserve, but Hashem wants to give it to us because of His love. So therefore, that's this reason why Hashem didn't spell it out. Hashem is telling us, I don't have to spell out the reward for you. You should understand that you're obligated to do this anyways. In addition, the reward will come. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, we'll end here for tonight. Everybody have a good night, and a good Shabbos, and a good Chodesh.
Thank you very much.